Thank you, Pastor Joe. Thank you. Oh, please be seated. Thank you very much for giving me the privilege of coming to share God's word with you this evening. Both Pastor John and I had, you give us a reason to come to this part of the world. We actually lived down south of the river, and we're living around the Willerton area, so most of our life just revolves around that area. So it's good to come and see what is happening on this side of the world. Beautiful place, and thank God for this beautiful facility that you have right in the midst of industrial estate, so you can make all the noise you want and nobody's going to say anything. That's fantastic. Now, this means a lot to me because we just finished building our new building over in Willerton, and already we have so many complaints coming from residents about noise and crowd and things like that. So you are blessed to be here, really. So thank God for the theme that you picked as well. Help is here. Beautiful theme. And then you pick a beautiful psalm as your theme psalm for this conference, Psalms 121. So I thought there's no better thing for me to do than actually take you to that psalm and actually walk you through that amazing psalm and then allow God to turn that logos into a rhema, a word in season for us tonight. So would you go with me now to the book of Psalms, Psalms 121, okay? Psalms 121, and I'm going to read for you through the whole psalm. Psalms 121, I'm going to start reading from verse 1. And you notice that right at the top is a little phrase that goes like this, a song of ascent, right? A song of ascent. If you're reading at an NIV translation, you'll find it there, a song of ascent. Then let me read for you from verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, and he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm, and he will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Amen. Lord, I pray that this evening you open up our eyes to behold wonderful things from your scripture. Would you anoint your servant so that I may deliver your word with clarity, with simplicity, but also with authority. May your word minister to us. May it be a word in season. So Lord Jesus, we commit this time now to you. Speak as your servants heareth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, one of the things I like to do before I go on my ministry trips is to actually pray for my family's protection. Now, most of us would do that, isn't it? And we pray a word of protection over the family. And then I came across this little story about a pastor who was about to go on a ministry trip. So he gathered his family together and he prayed for them. And this is what he prayed. He said, Lord, protect my family while I am away. And then his wife looked up and said to him, who do you think is protecting us while you are around? And I thought that makes sense, you know. Lord, protect our family when I'm away, but who do you think is protecting us when I'm around? Is that true? And I think that's really true. Whether I'm around or not, God is our protector. Would you agree? God is our protector, and God is the one who watches over our people, our property, our possession, and I tell you, he does it better than any one of us can. He is the God who protects and provides for us all the time. And Psalms 121 is really a declaration of this truth, that God is our protector, God is our helper, God is our provider. So what I'd like to do this evening is to paint you a backdrop that will help us to see the context of this beautiful psalm, and then we allow the Holy Spirit to turn this word into a word in season for your church and for you individually in this new season. Now, when you read the book of Psalms, I'm sure you would have noticed that some of the psalms have a little phrase that goes a song of ascent on top of it. Actually, to be precise, it would be Psalms 120 all the way to Psalms 134. In Psalms 120 all the way to Psalms 124, we'll have this little heading, a song of ascent, or Shireth Hamaloth in the Hebrew, song of ascent. Now, this series of 15 psalms from Psalms 120 all the way to Psalms 134 are traditionally sang in sequence by the Israelites as they make their way to Mount Zion to worship the Lord in his temple. So, and as they make their way towards the temple of the Lord of Mount Zion, they'll be singing this series of Psalms. Psalms 120 all the way to Psalms 134. And that is why you will notice that Psalms 120, which is sung at the beginning of the journey, starts at a very low point. If you look at Psalms 120, verse 1, it begins like this. I call on the Lord in my distress. In other words, they were at a very low point. And then they're crying out to God. Psalms 121 then begins like this. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? So they are making their way up. And they're looking up. They see the temple and they're crying out, where does my help come from? And then by the time you get to Psalms 134, they would be at the end of their journey. And the whole thing become more positive. Right? Psalms 134 goes like this. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night, where? In the house of the Lord. In other words, they have arrived at the temple. And now their spirits are all lifted up. So what is it talking about? As you get nearer and nearer to the presence of God, their faith is being lifted up. Their faith is being strengthened, and their spirit is being lifted up. That's the whole point. Now, can you imagine these 15 Psalms? I remember preaching a series to it in church. We call it 15 Steps Up. You know, you're literally taking 15 steps up towards the presence of God, into the manifested presence of God. And as we come into His manifested presence, we are being transformed. And I think it's a beautiful picture of our discipleship journey that all of us are on. We are moving all the time nearer to God. And in that process, we are moving from distress to delight, from doubt to a place of faith, from sin to holiness, from weakness to strength. And we say amen to that, isn't it? That's what's happening. Now, can you imagine if this is our experience every Sunday when we come to worship the Lord? Can you picture this? You leave your home to drive to this sanctuary. Hopefully, you get here on time. And then we come into the presence of God through exuberant praise and worship. And then we are lifted up to the anointed preaching of God's word by your pastor. And by the time you finish a time of fellowship at the end, we are going to leave this place strengthened, right? Edified, inspired. Guess what? Psalms, the Song of Ascent, are being played out every single week. And that's what you're experiencing every time you come to this house. Now, for the Jewish people, the ascension takes place at least 3 times a year during their major feasts, which is the Feast of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. And as they ascend the mountain of the Lord, they sing these songs to give thanks to God, as well as to encourage one another as they make their way to worship. So with that as a backdrop, let's look at Psalms 121 now. Are you with me so far? Okay, that's the context, that's the backdrop. Now let's look at the psalm in detail. It's a beautiful psalm. Now, Psalms 121 is also known traditionally as a traveler's psalm. Why? Because they speak of the protection and the provision of the Lord in their travels. So as they're making their way to the presence of God, this psalm is being sang. And it's a psalm that is sung at the start of their journey. And the journey that they're taking towards the temple of God, you need to understand, if you've ever been to Israel, you know that it can be a long and dangerous one due to the unforgiving elements that are there, the very rough terrain they're on, and there's a threat of robbers and wild animals and all of that. So it is a fitting picture of the journey of life that all of us are on. See, and life is, you agree, right? Life is not always smooth sailing. There are lots of ups and downs, challenges and problems that we all have to navigate. But in the ups and downs of life, we need the Lord. See? And that's why the pilgrims will sing Psalms 121 to remind themselves of the Lord who is their helper. God is our helper and help is here. See? And we will now look at Psalms 121 from 3 perspectives. And then let me outline them for you. The first is this. Psalms 21 tells us the source of our help. The Lord is the source of our help. Look at verse 1 and verse 2. Okay, now, understand that geographically, Jerusalem is on a ridge, you know, surrounded by hills. And as the worshippers head towards the holy city, they could see the hills in the distance. And as they approach the hill of God surrounding Jerusalem, they start to sing in verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the hills, where does my help come from? Now, how many of you use the King James translation of the Bible? Did anyone here use King James translation? Some of you do. Now, unfortunately, I have to say that the King James translation in this instance did not quite caught the nuance of this verse because they state it as a statement. It was a statement. It goes like this. The King James says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Now, it gives us an impression that our help actually comes from the hills. I lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. It can give you an impression that our help comes from the hills. But the psalmist is actually saying the exact opposite. You know why? Because the hills, where are the hills? The hills is where the ancient people built their idols. It's where they built their shrines. That's the high places, you see. The NIV in this instance actually got this right. Because the psalmist was actually asking a question. He wasn't making a statement. He was asking a question that goes like this. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? It was a question. And then he gave us the answer. What's the answer? The answer is verse 2. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So listen to me, brothers and sisters. Our answer does not come from the hills. It comes from the Lord who makes the hills. He is the maker of heaven and earth. What a world of difference a question mark can make. And we look up and we see the hills towering before us, but we got to look beyond the hills and actually see the Lord who is the real source of our help. Hallelujah. You know, the hills often inspire us, right? Because they stand between heaven and earth, but we are looking to the Lord because He is the one who made the heavens and the earth. Now, God, good news for you. The God who made the heavens and the earth is a God who is for you and not against you. Amen. He is for us. And so often, you know, we can look to the Lord, but then we still depend on the high places of our life. We still look to man. We look to money. We look to even our own mind rather than to look to the Lord. Wrong source of help. Do you ever hear the story about this blind man? He tapped his way to the busy intersection. He was standing at the corner waiting for some nice guy to come and lead him across the road, right? So he's just standing there and waiting. And another guy came along. And that guy just said, hi. And they started a conversation. It's really nice. And after they conversed for a while, the blind man took this man's hand and they started crossing the road. And that's when all the cars go, boom! They were screeching and all the brakes were screeching and all that. And that's when he discovered the other guy was blind too. It was literally the blind leading the blind. You understand what I'm saying? Both of them were looking to the wrong source for help. And this is what happens when we look to man instead of God. Now, tell you what our problem is. The problem is that many times we can be God-conscious, but we are still man-centered. I'm God-conscious, but I'm still man-centered. I am conscious of God, but I'm still centered on man. I'm still looking to the hills rather than to look beyond the hills. And this evening, the Holy Spirit wants to call us once again to a God-centeredness. Do you remember what happened in 2 Kings chapter 6? It's a very famous incident, right? The Arameans have surrounded the prophet Elisha and they wanted to destroy him. And then Elisha's servant, remember, woke up that morning, stepped out into the balcony, got a shock of his life because he discovered they were surrounded by a vast army. And he was shocked. And then listen to what happened in 2 Kings 6, verse 15 to verse 17. Listen to this. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. And so he shouted, oh no, my God, what shall we do? And the servant asked, don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then Elisha prayed this, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes. He looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You see, when the servant was totally desperate and demolished by what he saw, that when he discovered they're surrounded by the enemies, you notice that the prophet encouraged the servant with what? Not with nice words, not with sweet words. But what? How did he encourage this servant? It was by praying for him, for one thing, that his eyes may be open. Open what? Open to see God. So here's my point. I think true encouragement comes not just because we say nice things to each other. True encouragement don't come just because we give each other the ego strokes. But where does true encouragement come? True encouragement comes when our eyes are open and we begin to see God, who is the source of our encouragement, who is the source of our help. Are you with me? See, and I think that's what it is. And then suddenly our focus is moved, you know, from seeing our gigantic problems to begin to see this gigantic God. And then we'll be reminded again that those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now, what about Joshua 11? Remember that story in Joshua 11? The northern armies have gathered against the people of Israel. And then what did God tell Joshua to do? He did a very strange thing. Joshua 11, verse 6. Listen to this one. Do not be afraid of them, because by this time tomorrow, I will hand all of them over to Israel, slain. And then he gave specific instruction that goes like this. You are to hamstring their horses and burn their chariots. How many of you know that's a silly thing to do? Because how do the ancient people build their armory? It's by taking the resources of the defeated army. See, take their horses, take their chariots, and then build your armory. Build your army. That's how they do it. But God told Joshua specifically, you hamstring their horses, which means they can no longer run. And you burn their chariots, which means they can no longer be used. Why? It's so that they will always remember the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. So Psalms 20 verse 7 tell us, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Help is here, but where is the source? It's not man, it is Him. So, and are you facing challenging situations right now in your life? Do you need a miracle tonight? I want you to know that the battle belongs to the Lord. And if the battle belongs to the Lord, then the victory will belong to us. So we don't look to the hills, but we look beyond the hills, and then we behold our God. He is the source of our help. Psalms 121, verse 1 and 2. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Question mark. What's the answer? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Here's the second thing. The second perspective is to realize what is the substance of our help. God is our source, but what is the substance of our help? Now, you will notice from verse 3 to 7, there's an interesting Hebrew word that appears 6 times. In a few short verses, that one Hebrew word appears 6 times. And this little word, I think, is critical to our understanding of this psalm. Okay, and the Hebrew word that appears 6 times is the word shama. Shama, which is translated as keep in verse 7, and then is translated as watch. You notice this word keeps coming up, right? He watches over us, he watch over us, he watch over us. Came out 6 times in verse 7, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 7, and then verse 8. And this is an interesting word. The first time this word shama is used in the Bible is Genesis 2:15. That was when God made Adam and Eve, put Adam in the Garden of Eden, and then said to him, you are to work it and shama over it. Take care of it. Shama, watch over it. And this word that God told Adam to do, it means to keep, to take care. To take care of the Garden of Eden. And this word means to protect. It means to preserve, to guard, to watch over. So Psalms 121 verse 3 tells us this. God said, here's how I'm going to help you. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over, who shama over you, will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches shama over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I want you to know the God of Israel is watching over you tonight. He is watching over us. See, one of the dangers that the pilgrims face was a rough terrain as they make their journey there. And there are lots of rocks all over. It's very easy for you to step on one and then your foot will slip. And the moment you sprain your ankle or you break your ankle or you even break your legs, that's the end of the journey for you. But God says, you know, if that happens, they will never get to the temple. But the psalmist declared that the Lord will watch over them and He will not let their foot slip. You know why? Because we serve a God who neither slumbers nor sleep. Hallelujah. He is always vigilant. I'm not, neither are you. But God is always vigilant. He knows the end from the beginning. God is never caught by surprise. Have you ever been caught by surprise? Yeah, I think so, right? God is never caught by surprise. He sees all things, He knows all things, and He can do all things. And He who watches over you neither slumber nor sleep. And then verse 5 goes on to say this, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Another danger that the pilgrims face is the scorching heat, you know, from the Jerusalem sun. During the summer months, it has been said that the temperature goes as high as 120 degrees Fahrenheit. And people can literally die of heat stroke. See, but the Bible tells us here, the psalmist declared, the Lord is our shade at our right hand. And this word shade can also be translated as shadow. Shadow. Now, let me ask you, if you see my shadow, what does that mean? It means I must be there, right? Can you imagine you see my shadow and I'm not there? That's freaky, right? So if you see my shadow, what does that mean? The Lord is my shadow at my right hand. What does that mean? He protects us with His abiding presence. He is with us. Okay, and another way to look at it would be, another perspective would be, if you come close enough to me, my shadow will be cast over you. Am I right? So if we draw near to the Lord, as we walk with Him in intimacy, the presence of God protects us. Isn't that awesome? He is my shade at my right hand. But this phrase, you know, He is my shade at my right hand, has an even deeper meaning for the people of Israel at that time. You know why? Because for those who ever fought in wars, in ancient warfare, they fully understand this. And this verse means a lot to them. The Lord is my shade at my right hand. Why? Because how do ancient soldiers fight? They all fight with a sword and a spear and a shield. Isn't that right? A sword and a shield. Now, most soldiers, would you agree, are right-handed, right? So where would they carry their sword? In the right hand. And then where would they carry their shield? In the left hand. So let me ask you, which is the most vulnerable part of the soldier? The right hand, right? Because the left hand is totally shielded. Where's the most vulnerable part of the soldier? It's his right hand. Which means what? At our most vulnerable point, God is our protector. He watches over the most weakest point in your life. Whatever your weakness is, I want you to know God can protect you. He is my shade at my right hand. At your most vulnerable point, the Lord is your protection. Reminds me of Psalms 91, verse 1 and 2, right? He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. My brothers and sisters of Hill City, if you put your trust in our Most High God, His presence will watch over you. Hallelujah. And this God never slumbers nor sleep. And then it's interesting that verse 6 goes on to say, the sun will not harm you by day, right? Because He is our shadow, but nor the moon by night. Now, we can all understand that the sun can give us heat stroke, so we need to be protected. But what about the moon by night? You can't get a moon burn, you understand? So what's that about? I think there's meaning to this. The Lord protects us. The sun will not harm us by day because He's our shadow, our shield, but nor the moon by night. How do I understand this? I think this is where we need to understand that in the ancient world, the people believe that the moon can make one go crazy. That's why we have the word lunatic. Where does that come from? Lunar, moon, right? Lunatic. That the moon can make people go crazy. Is that moon theory true? Probably not. I don't believe that. The moon will not make you go crazy. I don't think that theory is true. But what's the point? Here's what I believe the psalmist is saying. What he's saying is this, that our God is the one who protects us not just from clear and present dangers, but also from all of our perceived fears, all of our worries and our anxieties and fears, things that can literally drive us crazy. How many of you agree? It's not the things that are actually happening that drives us crazy. It's the things that we are so fearful will happen. No, what if? It's all the what if. Many people suffer more from perceived than real fears. If we are dealing with real situations and real circumstances, we know what to do. It's the what ifs that we have no control over. You know, we are worried about so many things, and those are the things that drive us crazy. You know, what if I lose my job? You know, what if my house is broken into? What if I get cancer? What if there's a recession? What if the stock market crash? You know, these are the things that drive people crazy, make you a lunatic. It gives you that moon burn, you know. And what the psalmist is saying is this, I want you to know that our God watches over us, not just in clear and present dangers, but also in things that you are so worried about, so anxious about. The Lord watches over the unknown. The Lord shama over us, and He challenged us, therefore, walk in faith and not in fear. And verse 7, therefore, says the Lord will keep you from all harm. Now He gives you the comprehensive thing now. He will keep you from all harm. All means what? All, that's right. He will watch over your entire life. That's the God that we serve. Help is here. And this is the God you are looking to. See, and the other danger that the pilgrims face, you know, the substance is so comprehensive, you know. The other danger that pilgrims face is actually the threat of robbers, bandits, wild animals. And then the Lord declared, the Lord will keep you. The psalmist said, the Lord will keep you from all harm. All means all. I remember growing up, I was part of a church of American missionaries. Her name was Margaret Seward. I remember her from Singapore. And I remember her telling stories about her mom, who is a missionary to China. And during those early days, they all travel by bicycles. And because the village is so deep inside, the missionaries have to travel on bicycles, go into the village to preach, and then come out. And sometimes by the time they come out, it will be very dark. And they all know that street, that road is actually filled and infested with bandits and robbers and all that. But for years, they were going in and out. Nothing ever happened to them. Until one day, one of the bandits actually got converted. And so when he became a part of the church, they asked him, you know, just out of curiosity, that I know all of you are there, but while we are going in and out, how come you never attacked us over the years? And you know what the bandit said? He says, how can we? Because every time we're watching and every time you come, you're never alone. There's all these huge guys that are riding on bicycles next to you and they all come, one big gang. And then you go out, one big gang. And then that's when I discovered that, you know what? The psalm says that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and He delivers them. Psalms 34:7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and He delivers them. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, we serve a God who watches over us. And now I know angels ride bicycles also. Wow, what a God we serve. And that is why, brothers and sisters, when you have a God like that, you and I should live life with confidence. We live life with confidence. It's not because we are always on top of everything, because we are not. But it's because we serve a God who watches over us, a God who neither slumber nor sleep. This is so comforting for me, you know, because I've been a soldier before. I come from Singapore. We are all expected to serve in the army. And one of the things we don't like to do in our army service is sentry duties. You know, where you have to stay awake the whole night looking after the camp. And I tell you the honest truth, I literally fall asleep half the time. What hope do you have if a watchman who watches over the city is slumbering and sleeping? Thank God, we serve a God who neither slumber nor sleep. He knows everything that is going on in your life. Hallelujah. So when fear comes knocking at your door, you let faith go and answer it, and you'll find nobody there. Because faith always overcomes fear. It always overcomes fear. So the Lord is the source of our help too. The Lord is the substance of our help. He's so all-inclusive, you know. Let me leave you one last thing, and that's the scope of our help. How wide and how comprehensive is God? You look at verse 8 now. The psalmist climax with verse 8, and it goes like this. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. This verse, I think, defines the scope of his help, which is what? Anywhere and anytime. What an extravagant declaration of faith. You know that phrase, coming and going, speaks of what? Physical location. You're coming, you're going. So whether you are here or there, whether you are in a city or in the country, whether you are in Perth or in Melbourne, whether you are north of the river or south of the river, both, everywhere, God is watching over you. And that phrase, you know, now and forever, speaks of what? Duration, right? Time. Both present and future. Both today or tomorrow. If it's now or eternity, I want you to know, God is watching over you. You know, which tells me this, you know, we have comprehensive coverage. Your insurance policy with God is all comprehensive. It covers everything and even beyond this life, both now and forevermore. It means, you know, you and I can turn to God anywhere and all the time. And it's not enough for us just to come to God only when you are desperate and our wits end, but rather we turn to Him anywhere and anytime. And He covers it all. Hallelujah. And the psalmist is challenging all of us in Hill City. We depend on God in every situation, everywhere, all the time. We see beyond the hills, we see our God from whence our help comes from. He watches over you, my friends, in your coming, your going, both now and forevermore. And Hill City, I want you to know that God has watched over you for the last 5 years. And He will continue to look after you. Watch over you for the next 5 years and beyond. Because this is the God that we serve. Can I end with this as a prophetic burden for you, and then we'll pray. Isaiah 50, and this is for you as a church and also for you as an individual. Isaiah 50, verse 10 and 11 has this beautiful verse that goes like this. The prophet wrote this. Who amongst you fears the Lord and obeys the word of His servant? Let the one who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God. But now, all you who light fires and provide yourselves with flaming torches, you go and walk in the light of your own fires and of the torches you have set ablaze. This is what you shall receive from my hand, and you will lie down in torment. Isaiah 50, verse 10 to 11, speaks to those who may be going through seasons of darkness where there seems to be no light. And maybe you're going through a season where things do not make sense. You could be going through a season where there is no clarity within your own spirit. You sometimes feel like the heavens is like bronze. Your prayer just hits the ceiling and then you bounce back. There is no breakthrough. It's a season where you feel like you're walking in darkness. I've studied the Bible, and you know what I found? I found that there are three kinds of darkness that are mentioned specifically in the Scriptures. Then the three darkness is this. The first is the darkness that comes because of sin. The people of this world is walking in darkness because of sin, right? The second kind of darkness is a darkness that comes because of ignorance, because you don't know. That because of you're unaware, that's why we walk in darkness. The people in this world are also ignorant because their eyes are they are living in deception and they don't know. And that's another source of darkness. And the third source of darkness is a darkness that comes because of demonic influence. See, and the scriptures actually say that the prince of this world has blinded the eyes of the unbelievers so that they cannot even see the light of the gospel. Is that right? Where did that come from? Demonic influence. So there is a darkness that comes because of this. But I'd like you to notice that the darkness that is described in Isaiah 50, verse 10 to 11, is not really talking about any of the above. Would you agree? What is that directed to? Isaiah 50 is actually directed not to unbelievers, it's directed to believers. It's actually addressed to those who fear the Lord and those who obey the word of His servant. Now, and yet they are walking in darkness. So if that darkness is not about sin, it's not about ignorance, it's not about the demonic, then what is this text referring to? I think it is referring to a darkness that comes because of the silence of God. You get me? It's a darkness that comes not because of sin, not because of ignorance, not because of the demonic. It's a darkness that comes because you're going through a season in life where there's a silence of God. God don't seem to be speaking. I don't really have clarity. The mystics have a phrase for it. They have a description for it. They call it the dark night of the soul. The dark night of the soul. There are seasons when we may not even understand why God is not speaking. But God is just allowing me to just pray and not hear anything, talk to Him, and I don't feel like He's talking back. It seems like the heavens is like bronze. What is going on? And I'll tell you what God is doing. If you are someone who fears the Lord and you obey His word and yet you're going through this sense of darkness, that's due to the silence of God, then I tell you what God is doing. He is doing a deep inner surgery in the soul of that man or that woman of God. We may not even understand, but He's doing something so deep, our human minds cannot even conceive it. But by the time we come out at the other end, you will be a transformed man. You will be a transformed woman. Something deep is happening inside of you and you don't even understand it. You're going through this darkness that comes because of the silence of God. He's doing a deep work inside. You'll bring about a greater breakthrough in His divine timing. The only thing I can tell you, I can't tell you when it will end. I can only tell you one thing. The most important thing to remember if you're going through in times like this is what the prophet is saying to us. Don't light your own fire. Don't resist the temptation to provide flaming torches for yourself. Because if we take matters into our own hands, we light our own fires, we provide flaming torches for ourselves, the prophet said, you're going to have to lie down in your own torment. That's the last thing we want to do. But what then should we do in times like this? He say, you trust in the name of the Lord. And you rely on our God. And you say, God, I trust in you. In the midst of this darkness, while I'm going through this, I will hold on to you. You still trust in this God who helps you, watches over you in your coming and going, both now and forevermore. So don't take matters into your own hands. Don't light your own torches. Don't light your own fire. But we say, God, I trust in you. And you wait for that moment. You come out at the other end of the valley and you'll be a changed person. Philip Brooks, the author of the hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem, I'm sure we sing that Christmas hymn, right? He grew up during the Great Depression in America, and he talked about an event in his childhood that crafted a value, deep values into his life. Because he grew up in days of poverty, the family was also going through a very tough time. And he recalled an event when he was just a little kid. And what happened that night was that they were having dinner, and the mom, by that time, was so frustrated with everything that was going on that she began to lash out in frustration against the situation. She started questioning God, lamenting about their lack and all of that. And the father allowed the mom to go on for a while, but at the end of it, after some time, he stood up to his feet, and then he made this declaration to the family, and it goes like this. He said, "I've trusted God for the last 40 years, and He has never let me down, and I don't intend to stop now. I've trusted God for the last 40 years, and He never let me down. I don't intend to stop now." Brothers and sisters of Hill City Church, you have trusted God, right, to take you to this point. You have no reason to stop now. And you have seen God take this church from where you are to where you were to where you are today. And you know He will carry you through to the next season. Whatever season you may be in, whatever situation you may be going through this evening, make a fresh resolve as a church. I will look beyond the hills. And I will fix my eyes on Jesus, the author, the finisher of my faith. Help is here. And it comes from the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. Amen.